Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Doug Henwood, the editor of the Left Business Observer, which was founded in 1986. Henwood is also a contributing editor of The Nation and does a weekly radio program Behind the News on sister station KPFA. He is the author of the books The State of the USA Atlas, Wall Street, How It Works and Who For, and After the New Economy. Thanks for joining us here today on Background Briefing, Doug Henwood.
Good to be here.
And I guess this is a naive question, but since you've covered Wall Street for many years from the left perspective, do those people in those tall buildings on Wall Street, are they in any way shamed by the people down on the street who are being beaten up by the police and getting arrested protesting them? And it's worth noting that the people on the street are being arrested, but the people inside the buildings haven't been arrested for taking the global economy to the brink of extinction and costing the taxpayers trillions.
Just a minor geographical point. Most of the investment banks have actually left the Wall Street region, so the people in those towers are not necessarily the perpetrators. There are a few investment banks that are still around there, but most of them have moved to Midtown Manhattan. But that aside, you know, Wall Street is of immense symbolic importance, and no, these people are not shamed by this sorts of things. I think they would look down on a demonstration like that or an occupation like that and think, ha-ha, aren't those people silly? I'm almighty, and they're just tiny little insects down there. So no, it's going to take a lot more than that to produce shame in these people.
So what is it going to take?
Well, it would take much larger scale action. I think a lot of people who are in this little park, Zuccotti Park, which is just around the corner from Wall Street, are there for the best of reasons, but I went and visited there a few days ago and talked to a bunch of them, and a lot of them are just like unemployed people or people who are just outraged by the nature of class and power and the distribution of income in this country. But there aren't very many of them. They do not speak with a very clear agenda. They don't have much in the way of organization. Now, it's quite possible that they're the nucleus of something that will form into a much larger movement. They've spawned some imitators around the country. Who knows where it will go. But it's going to take a lot more in the way of a popular movement, stuff that really gets attention-grabbing and potentially disruptive for anything to move. I think, but this sort of thing, as long as it stays on this scale, is not going to do much. But who knows? It could grow to be something much larger than it is right now.
Well, Doug Henwood, of course, most of the victims of Wall Street's predation are unemployed or hanging on by their fingernails, and they've got probably holding down two or three jobs and terrified they're going to lose their health care, and they're certainly not in a position to go demonstrate on Wall Street.
Well, actually, I talked to a couple of people who are there, and one woman in particular really stood out. She graduated from college a little over a year ago. She lives in a small town in Maine and came down because she is unemployed, has been unemployed since she graduated from college, and has no prospects, no income, and nothing to lose. So I think she just hitchhiked down or took a bus down. And so people like that who are young with no responsibilities and no job are certainly the kinds of people who can do something like that. People who have more at risk, who have families and houses and maybe are working those two or three jobs, they can't do that. But, a 23-year-old person who is not weighted down by those things could certainly hang out for a long period of time. This woman I spoke with planned to stay through January, she said, or at least until the last person left Zuccotti Park. So, how many people like that are there? I don't know.
Well, I guess we should be grateful for her in the sense that somebody has to. I've always been astounded, Doug Henwood, why the president and the Democrats did not tap into the rage in this country about what happened on Wall Street. It took the Tea Party to steal that issue. And, of course, the Tea Party is an astroturf organization run by billionaires that want to increase the power of the oligarchy. Why didn't the left run with the Wall Street outrage from the beginning?
Yeah, the Tea Party, to steal a phrase from Robert Kuttner's book many years ago, it's a revolt of the haves, or at least the have-somes. They're not the have-manys, but they're the have-somes.
Well, they're paid for by the have-many.
Oh, yes, that's absolutely true. But, you know, there is a degree of right populist outrage in this country. You know, that kind of far-right thinking affects maybe 15-20% of the American electorate to varying degrees. So, you know, it's a long-standing thing that goes back decades in American history. But, you know, Obama himself and the Democrats are, they're in a bit of a pickle because they're essentially a party that is funded by and works for big money, Wall Street and the Fortune 500, but has to pretend for electoral reasons otherwise sometimes. So if you look at what Obama did when he took office, he appointed the absolutely orthodox Tim Geithner as Secretary of the Treasury. The people who advocated any kind of departure from that, you know, Wall Street-friendly policies, I was amazed to see Larry Summers, of all people, who used to be kind of a bad guy, but, you know, he became kind of a Keynesian stimulus guy. Christina Romer from University of California, Berkeley, who was his chief economic advisor, were both pushing for large stimulus programs and continued to when it was clear that the first one wasn't really having the kick that it should have. They left. They were squeezed out by the party of Wall Street, or the sub-party of Wall Street within the administration. Obama himself called Wall Street guys fat cats once, and they never forgave him for it. But as for his policies, he's been very Wall Street-friendly. The Dodd-Frank financial regulation bill is pretty weak stuff. He was always annoyed by Elizabeth Warren, who push for the creation of a consumer financial protection agency that was watered down in the final legislation. He made her an advisor and not the director of the thing to start with, and then she decamped to Massachusetts to run for the Senate. But, you know, all the voices of kind of redistributive, stimulative, policies or anything that would put a cap on Wall Street have been squeezed out of the administration. They're just absolutely orthodox.
Well, for the record, Doug, again, I'm speaking to Doug Henwood, the editor of the Left Business Observer and the author of Wall Street, How It Works and Who For. When the first vote was taken on the TARP bailout, it was rejected by the Congress and mostly by Republicans.
That's true, but, you know, the Democrats... you know, we needed some sort of financial bailout. There's no question about that from my point of view. I didn't want to see everything come crashing down, but there were no conditions imposed on it. You know, they were given a lot of money, blank checks, basically, to go back to business as usual or the status quo before the bust. And that's crazy. You know, the financial sector should be run something like an old regulated utility. It's just too important to everything for these guys to be allowed to run wild with a guarantee from the federal government, a limitless guarantee from the federal government. And now that after all the failures and the mergers and everything, you know, the big guys are bigger than ever. So we had a too big to fail problem before the financial crisis that has been magnified now by the resolution of that crisis.
Right, and all the damage
than ever.
And all the damage that they did and that Bush did and the Bush decade did, the lost decade, is now being blamed on Obama. In 2010, the people who largely caused this problem came back, and in 2012 they may take the whole enchilada with the House. They got the House. They may take the Senate and the White House. So it's kind of surreal.
That's political choice in this country. It's bad and worse.
Right.
That's what we got. But, you know, I happened to be listening to Reagan's first inaugural address recently, and one of the things that really struck me about it was that he made no bones about breaking with the past. He said, we cannot go back to discredit the ways of the past. There may be some short-term pain, but there will be a payoff in the long term. He's very good at sort of appropriating the language of the left about revolution and transformation and possibility. We haven't heard anything remotely like that coming out of Obama. Mm. You know, all the dribble about change during the campaign amounts absolutely nothing when he actually took office.
Well, let me just change the subject a tiny bit, Doug Henley, because coming up we're going to be talking about the Antichrist. And as you know, Ahmadinejad, the Iranian leader who was recently at the UN, he's also apocalyptic. He believes in the hidden Imam, the Messiah, is going to return in with the same kind of peculiar end times theology that that the Christian right has. But today, Al-Qaeda came out on their various websites and in their magazine Inspire complaining that Ahmadinejad has taken away their credit for 9/11, which, you know, the truthers in this country believe that Bush, these geniuses Bush and Cheney, got these Arabs to fly the planes to rescue their failed presidency. But it's sort of kind of amusing that the Al-Qaeda, the author of 9/11, is peeved at Ahmadinejad for stealing their thunder.
Yeah, it's very interesting. It's you know, it's quite amazing. I hadn't actually looked at this magazine before. I think they were in the seventh issue of the thing. It's a rather slick piece of work when you look at it. Although they do need a native English speaker as copy editor, a native English speaker as copy editor. There are a lot of grammatical and spelling errors here that could be worked on. But the this editorial or polemic from the magazines, I think it was from the magazine's editor, it's kind of like, you know, a letter from the editor thing, was very angry at Ahmadinejad for it almost looks like they looked at him as marketplace rivals, you know, in the jihad space, as they would say, in the business world, that Al-Qaeda was taking credit for having taken made this great blow against the United States, the greatest blow against the United States in the modern times, one that totally freaked out this country and transformed global politics. And Ahmadinejad would not give Al-Qaeda credit for that. You know, it's they wanted to give Bush credit for it. Now, there's something that always struck me about, you know, this Al-Qaeda, rather the truther indictment or the truther claim, is that they almost assume that a bunch of Arabs couldn't do these sorts of things. They need, you know, white guys from the CIA to plan these sorts of large-scale terrorist acts, and the Arabs themselves are incapable of such dastardly deeds. But aside from that, you know, the idea that I'm just struck over and over again by the lunacy of this belief that Bush did it to us or Cheney planned it. And it's just remarkable to see the pretzels of logic or illogic that people twist themselves into to make these.
Yeah, sure. Well, unfortunately, it's infected the Pacifica network and discredited our credibility as journalists. It's something that I have to fight against all the time because it.
Well, me too. It just drives me nuts.
Yeah.
My former radio station for that sort of thing too.
Well, I thank you for joining us.
Okay, anytime.
Great. Again, I've been speaking with Doug Henwood, editor of the Left Business Observer, which he founded in 1986. He's the author of Wall Street, How It Works, and Who For. And we're going to take a brief station break and we'll be back talking about the Antichrist.